Morning.
Today's daf in Zvachim is Pei Aleph. We find ourselves on Pei Amud Beis at the top of the Amud. We're in the middle of a sugya. The sugya starts on Pei Amud Aleph, and the sugya is whether or not Yesh Bila or Ein Bila. Yesh Bila, Ein Bila is a machlokus amongst perhaps the Tanaim. I say perhaps. We're not 100% sure. The Amoraim have opinions on this matter, but it's a machlokus is to predicate on the fact that when I have a mixture of two liquids, they get mixed together. And let's just say for the purpose of this discussion that the two liquids that get mixed together have the same viscosity so that we have a better shot of just visualizing this and seeing this. So if the two liquids get mixed together and they have the same viscosity, so there's a debate amongst the Tanaim and certainly amongst the Amoraim as to whether or not there's an immediate even distribution and a blending of the two liquids or no. Do we say that the liquids are there, certainly in some form of mixture, but not evenly blended? And so it's going to have a lot of application, a lot of ramification regarding halacha. And so this is the middle of the sugya that we're doing. Yesh bila or ein bila. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a little bit hesitant to try to explain this machlokus. Generally speaking, I have a tradition that when you have a machlokus amongst Tanaim and Maraim, they're arguing conceptually, but they're not arguing about the physical reality. And over here, what we seem to have is a machlokus about the physical reality, as to whether there is or there isn't a blending. That seems to be the simplest way to present it. I have no other way to present it. And it seems to be that they're arguing about the physical reality. But again, my tradition is not to explain machlokus that way, but right now, I just simply have no other way to say it. If you remember yesterday, we learned the Mishnah and Parah on Pei Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah and Parah talked about where I have the solution of the paraduma, meaning the ashes mixed with the spring water, with the Mayim Chaim, and mixed into that is a little bit of Mayim Shuvim. Just regular water gets mixed into there. So at that point in time, can I use that mixture? And so there was a machlokas yesterday in the Mishnah in Parah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say that the entire mixture now is pasul, and Rabbi Eliezer says that what you do is you sprinkle twice. And what we tried to do yesterday is we tried to say a pshat and Rabbi Eliezer sprinkling twice. According to the Chachamim, it makes a lot of sense. Because we could say for the Chachamim that the basis of his position, their position is, number one, Yesh Bila, that there's an even distribution. Number two, every time you sprinkle, you need a shear, meaning you need the full amount of the head of the hyssop, the azov, to be filled with and only with the solution, the paraduma solution. And on top of that, ain mitzarfin. And also, I can't just simply do it twice because they're not going to combine with one another. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, the only way that's going to work is only when I take the azov and I dip it into undiluted paraduma solution. So fine. So according to the Chachamim, it works out great. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, we are at somewhat of a standstill, trying to understand why do it twice. So to that, what we suggested is three pshatim amongst the Amoraim. Let us start off this morning by reviewing the three pshatim of the Amoraim, and then we'll pick it up right from there. Pshat number one of the is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the principle of Bila, meaning he says that there is going to be an even blending of the two liquids. And he's also of the opinion that the Hazar requires a shear. And as far as explaining this, Kagon Shinesar of Acha Ba'achas. In other words, and how much got mixed up one with another? So in this particular case, in this particular Mishnah, the ratio of how much water and water gets mixed up, when I say water and water, I mean water and paraduma solution gets mixed up, it was a ratio of 1:1. So it's a ratio of 1:1. We assume an even blending of the two liquids. So therefore, if you do it twice, so now you're gonna get a shear. And obviously, you have to subscribe to the idea that you could be mitzar if you can combine one sprinkling and the second sprinkling. That is one way to explain Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why I sprinkle twice. The second way of explaining it is Rava. Rava says that really, again, he also agrees with Reish Lakish that we are going to assume, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yesh Bila, that there's an even blending. We're also assuming that the Hazar does not require a shear. So in other words, as long as you have any of the paraduma solution that gets onto the Azov and therefore gets sprinkled on the person, that would be fine. So then, of course, the question begs, so then why do I need a second Hazar? And so Rav explains, Kanas. It's a fine. Meaning what the Chachamim didn't want you to do, don't want us to do, is to dilute the paraduma solution. Because if we know that there really is no shear requirement, and we also subscribe to the concept of Yesh Bila, that there's an even blending, so that means to say that we can then take our paraduma solution, dilute it, and it would be fine. So therefore, the Chachamim don't want us to do that. So therefore, as a punitive measure, so what they did is they require us to sprinkle it again. That's the opinion of Rava. And finally, the third opinion is that of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says no. Really, to explain Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to subscribe to the position of Ein Bila, that there is no even distribution of the two waters that get mixed together. So then, if that's the case, so why then sprinkle twice according to Rav Ashi? Rashi explained Rav Ashi's position. The basis for Rav Ashi is that really what happened is only a trace amount of water got mixed in. So the and so therefore, when you are and we don't assume an even distribution. So when you sprinkle the first time, there is the possibility that all you got in that first sprinkling was water and only just water. But because it was only a little bit of water that came in, so even if the first time it was only water, but I exhausted all the water. Now the second time when I sprinkle, what am I going to have? I'm going to have paraduma solution. Okay, so this is how we can explain Rabbi Eliezer, both according to Reish Lakish and according to Rava and according to Rav Ashi. So again, there are a lot of moving parts to this discussion. There are a lot of variables. Yesh bila, ein bila, tzarech shir, ein tzarech shir, mitzarfin, ein mitzarfin. So there are three variables to this discussion, but based on how you subscribe to each one of the variables, so that is how you can explain Rabbi Eliezer. According to both Reish Lakish and according to Rava, they say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, yesh bila, that there is a distribution. According to Rav Ashi, in his explanation, Rabbi Eliezer, he says ein bila. And what we're going to do now is we're going to ask two questions, one against Reish Lakish and the other one according to Rav Ashi. So I'll start now on Pei Amud Aleph at the bottom. I'll just reset the questions again, and we'll pick it up from there. Meitzvei, the Gemara now is going to challenge. We are on the very bottom of Pei Amud Aleph. Meitzvei Rebbe Omer L'Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. This is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi explaining the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Hazah kol shehu mitaras, hazah ein tzrich hashir, hazah mechza kasher mechza pasul. So the hazah, any amount is going to be mitahir. There is no shear requirement. Hazah mechza kasher mechza pasul. Half would be kasher, half would be pasul. Meaning I simply don't need there's no amount requirement. Now this, of course, is a strong question against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that he assumes, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that there's an even distribution. And he said, according in explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Eliezer holds, that there is a shear requirement. Clearly, in the Braisa that we just learned together, there is no shear requirement, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So that obviously bodes not well for Reish Lakish.
But this is Mechatat. How does it apply to the Zerika?
We haven't moved it over to the Zrika yet. Right now we're staying just on the Meipara, and then
using it to say constant that there's no shear for this.
Only right now for the Paraduma. Right now the Gemara is just focusing on Paraduma, and then later this morning we're gonna move it over to Zrika Sadam. The Od Tanya. The Gemara says, and also on top of that, there's another Bryce.
The next question was Zrika
for the Paraduma.
Paraduma. Well, is it shear?
It's a variable, meaning there's no clear-cut position on that. But when Reish Lakish says that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is a shear, that is disputed by the Braisa. The Braisa says very clearly that, in Rebbe's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, there is no shear requirement. So that's difficult for Reish Lakish. Okay. And two, Ve'otanya, and on top of that, there's another Braisa. This Braisa is going to be difficult for Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is of the opinion that in his explanation, Rabbi Eliezer, we assume that there isn't an even blending. The Braisa reads, Ve'otanya, Behejah, Hinitan Lamala, Shinitar, Mitan Lamata, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Yitin Lamala, Vatachton, Malala. So we now turn to our Mishnah, and this is why the whole discussion comes in over here. Because our Mishnah, we also have an example of liquids getting blended together. We have the bloods getting mixed together. So we have in our Mishnah a whole bunch of scenarios of blood of an ola getting mixed in with the blood of a chatas, etc., etc. And our Mishnah said that if I have hanitan lamala, bloods that get bloods that should be sprinkled on the top of the mizbech getting mixed up with blood sprinkled on the bottom of the mizbech, Rabbi Eliezer, yitin lamala v'atzachton emalolo. That you sprinkle above and you sprinkle below. Now, Now, if you take Rav Ashi's position, Rav Ashi says Ein Bila, that we assume that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no even distribution, we have a serious problem. Look, if we assume that there's no even distribution, you simply don't know which blood of the mixture went where. The blood of the upper mizbech can actually be the one that you sprinkled below. The one of the lower mizbech could be the one that you sprinkled above. You simply don't know if we're not assuming an even distribution. So then, if that's true, how did you understand this statement of the Braisa if we are assuming that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila? So Hachibah Ma'iskinu, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right, it's certainly a challenge, it's certainly a struggle, but what we could do is we could provide an ukimta. We can give a specific case over here, and it would work out. Could go into Ika Ruba El Yonim V'Kayav Lamala Shir Tachton V'od. The Gemara says, well, look, the Braisa was not clear about the ratio of how much was mixed with what. Meaning, we know the blood of the El Yonim was mixed with the blood of Tachtonim. That part we know. But the Mishnah doesn't give us ratio. So what we could do, admittedly, it's a little bit of force to say this, but what we could do is that we could provide the ratio. We'll say now that there is more of the upper blood than there is of the lower blood. In fact, a lot more of the upper blood than that of the lower blood. And so what we're going to do now is, and let's assume, for the purpose of this discussion, we know how much lower blood got mixed in. We just simply don't know where it is. And again, we are now defending Rav Ashi, which means we're assuming Ein Bila, that there's no even distribution. So here's what we're going to do. I'll throw out numbers just so that we can discuss this like a little bit more intelligently. Let's say 10 ounces of upper blood got mixed up with 1 ounce of lower blood. So now here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the upper part of the Mizbeach and we're going to sprinkle 2 ounces. Because now I know for sure, even though there's no even blending, there's no even distribution, but now I know that in the worst case scenario, I exhausted all the lower blood, and on top of that, some of the upper blood as well went on the upper Mizbeach. The Gemara says that could be the case over here that the Braisa is dealing with. So the Gemara says, HaTachtonim ala lo ketani. So the Gemara says, that in of itself is a good solution, but it's not a great solution. Because consider, what we have essentially said now is there is the possibility that of this 11-ounce mixture, I'll take 2 ounces and I'll sprinkle on the top. Because in the event that all the lower blood now is sprinkled on the top, that's good. All the lower blood was only 1 ounce. I sprinkled 2 ounces on the top. So now I know that at the very least, I got the upper blood hitting the upper part of the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara now is saying, that's great, but there's also the possibility that you took all the lower blood and sprinkled in the upper part of the Mizbeach. You simply have none of the lower blood left for the lower part of the Mizbeach. And the problem is, the Braisa says really clearly that it works for both the top and for the bottom when you sprinkle both the top and the bottom. So the Gemara's response is, L'shem Shemayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? It does work for the bottom. But not for the Hazza'ah of the lower part of the Mizbeach, but for the Shirayim of the lower part of the Mizbeach. Meaning that we know that for the chatas, you need to sprinkle the blood on the four corners of the top of the Mizbeach, and then the remainder of it is poured on the bottom of the Mizbeach. So when it says go below, it means vis-a-vis Shirayim for the chatas. But Enachinami, what the Gemara now is arguing is, as far as the Ola is concerned, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get credit for the carbon Ola, you're only getting credit for the carbon chatas.
When Eliyashi says there's no blending, what is he talking, spiritual or physical?
No, physical.
So what is the definition of blending then? Because when you have the water going together, there's no way of telling where the blood, there's no way of telling
if you subscribe,
physically that they're different.
If you subscribe to Yesh Bila, what you're saying is that the moment that the two bloods get mixed together, there is an even distribution of the two bloods.
Why would you say physically that there's no Bila? It cannot be. Physically cannot be unless he's talking a spiritual.
No. If you subscribe to Ein Bila, it means that the bloods get mixed together. You simply don't know whether or not it was evenly distributed. Yeah. Meaning that there could be a higher concentration of this blood in this part of the cup as opposed to this cup where there's a higher concentration of this blood.
Are there two cups?
No, not yet. We're going to get there. No, in one cup. Meaning what, did you you didn't put any milk in your coffee? Okay, I'm not judging. So in other words, so in your cup of coffee, so in other words, when you pour milk in, so does the milk evenly blend throughout the coffee? Now, I know it's a question of physics. It's a question of physics. It's a correct question of chemistry. Eventually, it does.
Yeah.
But in other words, initially, when you pour in, is it evenly distributed?
No. The first millisecond.
I tell you what, I don't want an answer. I don't want an answer. This is the exact debate that's taking place right now. The debate right now was whether or not Yesh Bila or Ein Bila. Yesh Bila subscribes to the idea that it evenly blends immediately, as opposed to Ein Bila, where it doesn't evenly blend. Whereas if it doesn't evenly blend, so now when I take a sample of this cup, what am I taking? Coffee or milk? Okay, and is it, what ratios am I taking it at? So what the Gemara now is entertaining is really it's a struggle throughout the rest of today's daf. It's going to be the struggle. And that if I subscribe to Ein Bila, so now that means that any sample I take of this, I simply don't know how much coffee am I taking, how much milk am I taking. Here in the Gemara, when I have the bloods get mixed together, and I'm taking now, I'm sprinkling a sample of it, how much of each of the bloods am I taking? Tashma. Gemara says now we're in Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Sorry. We're Pei Amud Beis. We are about 8 lines from the top of the Amud, and we're just going to keep plugging along. Meaning, we have the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. We have Rav Ashi's explanation within Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Rabbi Eliezer, to properly understand Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to assume that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, that there is no even distribution. And so now what we're going to have to do is we're going to lumber through Mishnah after Mishnah over the course of this morning to see whether or not this is a defensible position within Rabbi Eliezer. That's what we're doing right now. Let's see the next Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, Nasan Lamata below Nimlach. So let's say I have the mixture of blood. Blood of the of a chatas that gets mixed in with the blood of an ola. And now with no consultation. Now remember, we already learned in the Mishnah. If the Kohen consulted, well, it depends who he would have consulted. If he would have consulted Rabbi Eliezer, he would have said, start with the top and go to the bottom. If he would have consulted with the Chachamim said, take it all and discard it and start again. Okay, that's the Mishnah. This particular Kohen did not do consultation. Okay, so first he shot and then he asked questions. So Tashma, Nasan Lamata V'lo Nimlach. So this Kohen took the mixture, sprinkled it below, and he didn't consult. Rabbi Eliezer, Mer Yachzav Yitin Lamal V'Tachton Emal Lo. So Rabbi Eliezer says, so here, good. So here's what you'll do. So to the Kohen who didn't consult, look, you should have consulted. I would have told you to start with the top and go to the bottom. You start with the bottom, that's fine. Start with the bottom, now go to the top. Now, how, and now, the question on the table is as follows. I don't understand. Meaning, if Rav Ashi's right in his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, that there's an Ein Bila, that there's no even distribution, there's no even blending, how do I know what I sprinkled on the lower part of the Mizbech? How do I know what I sprinkled on the upper part of the Mizbech? What is Rabbi Eliezer saying? Just sprinkle on the top and you're fine. So, Hachanami Berubel Yonav V'Kayav Lamal Shior Tachton V'od. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what must be? Again, we're going to give the same ukimta, that we're talking specifically about a case where I have the majority of it being upper blood, the minority of it being lower blood, and what I did is, in order to ensure that I sprinkled the top with the upper blood, so I took the amount of the lower blood and I sprinkled more than that. So again, I'll just go back to my example. In other words, it was an 11-ounce mixture. 1 ounce of it was lower blood, 10 ounces if it was upper blood. And so what I did is I took 2 of the ounces and I sprinkled in the upper part of the Mizbech, making sure that even though I don't know if there was an even distribution, even in the event that I exhausted all the lower blood on the upper part of the Mizbech, I also for sure got the upper blood on the upper part of the Mizbech. The problem, of course, is the same problem like we said before. V'od. I'm sorry, tachton v'od. V'ha tachton malalo ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in this brisa, it says really clearly that the sprinkling that you did on the lower works. Works? What do you mean it works? It could very well be, if I subscribe to the idea of Ein Bila, that all the lower blood went on the upper part of the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, answers like it did before, L'shem Shirai. No, it doesn't work vis-a-vis the Ola. For the Ola, you don't know. You don't know if you sprinkled the Ola on the lower part of the Mizbech. But what you do know, however, is that what you can do is sprinkle on the lower part of the Mizbech, satisfying the Shirayim requirement. Tashma. A Shirayim requirement of the Chatas carbon. Tashma.
There's no issue with the fact that you're actually not applying, not going through the steps in a proper order. So you're not doing things, good.
Yes. In other words, in the Chatas now, it's going out of order. It's right? Correct. It's an excellent observation that it seems to be going now out of order. In other words, you're starting with the Shirayim, and now you're moving to the actual applications. Tashma. Sounds like from the Gemara it's fine. Sounds that way. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Nasan lamala v'lo nimlach. So, if I sprinkled above and I didn't consult. Now again, we know what would have happened with consultation. If I have the mixture of the bloods of the upper part of the Mizbech and the lower part of the Mizbech, you would have asked the Chachamim what to do. They would have said, discard the whole mixture. You would have asked Rabbi Eliezer, he would say, sprinkle above and then sprinkle below. The Gemara says, but this Kohen didn't consult, and he sprinkled above. And Elav Elam Modim, they both agree, Shiachkev Yitei Lamata. So they both agree, seemingly the they, meaning both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer are both of the opinion, okay, take whatever blood's left over and sprinkle it below. The Elu Alulo. And both sprinklings will be effective. So the Gemara, once again, struggling. The Gemara is saying, what do you mean they're both going to be effective? If I hold, in other words, of the two opinions, one of them is Rabbi Eliezer. And if Rav Ashi is right, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, that there's no even distribution. So then, how do I know which blood got sprinkled where? So Achanami, so again, the Gemara is going to turn back to the same type of answer. In other words, the mixture of blood was the majority of it being upper blood, So again, I'm going to go back to my same numbers. 11-ounce mixture, 10 ounces if it was upper blood, 1 ounce if it was lower blood. And what I did is I took 2 ounces and I sprinkled it on the upper part of the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, and as far as the lower blood is concerned, so you're not going to get credit for the carbonola, which you'll get credit for a shirayim. The Gemara says, all this is well and good, and we've seen this answer already a couple of times this morning. But the Gemara says, vaha, excuse me, elu ve'elu alu lo ketani. But the Braisa says really clearly that they both agree, alulo. Meaning both, it sounds like what it's saying is both carbonos are going to work for you. So the Gemara says, mi ketani elu ve'elu modim, elu ve'elu alu lo ketani. The Gemara says, no, you have to read the Braisa even more carefully. It doesn't say that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree in terms of what is going to be effective. They just simply say that they agree that it will be effective. But you have to say what's effective. Seifas on the Rabban and Damri Yesh Bila. Meaning the end of the Braisa is only talking about vis-a-vis the Shita of the Chachamim that say that they subscribe to the idea that there's an even blending. They're therefore of the opinion that any time I take any blood, it is going to represent both bloods. It's going to cover, therefore, the upper and the lower. And so, therefore, when the end of the Braisa says Elu ve'elu, it's only going according to the opinion of the Chachamim, not according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Tashma. Here we go again. Now, here is our Mishnah scenario. Our Mishnah scenario, I have the blood of one carbon getting mixed up with the blood of another carbon. So, yinasna b'matana achas. So what you do is one application. Yinasna b'matana achas. So v'i amar dein bila, and once again, where is our question resting with? Our question once again is resting with Rav Ashi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, according to Rav Ashi, ain bila, that there's no even distribution. So when I have bloods getting mixed together, even though in terms of the number of applications, same number, but how do I know? I have the blood, I'm sprinkling on the Mizbeach. If I don't assume an even distribution, that sprinkling can only be representing one animal, not both animals. So then why should that one sprinkling work? The Gemara articulates the question, could very well be that we only got one carbon, not both carbonos. So the Gemara says, Kigoshin is arvu achas b'achas. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe over here the scenario would be that it's that the mixture in this particular scenario is 1-to-1 ratio. Rashi writes, achas b'achas, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Rashi is towards the bottom of the Amud. Shir matana mizev, shir matana mizev. And when the Braisa says Rashi, that you do one application, bishvil ko echad ka'amar, meaning for each one, dahainu shtei matanos, the nimsu shtei b'mizbeach. It doesn't mean that you're only doing one application, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, one application is not going to get you where you want to be. It means that you're going to do a double application. In other words, in doing so, you're going to ensure, even though there's no even distribution, but by doing an application, you're now exhausting the blood, therefore hitting it. When the Braisa says, yinasnu b'matana achas, I know the simple way to read it is one application. But it just simply means the way we're going to read the Braisa is, representing each one, you're going to do an application. But in other words, it comes out that you're doing two applications. Again, it's not the easiest way to read the Mishnah, but the Gemara is interested in defending Rav Ashi, Ashi's viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Matan arba mamatan arba hacha namishin esarvu arba barba. So the Gemara says, what about the next case in the Mishnah where I have the blood of a four application gets mixed up with the blood of a four application? Again, this is back to our Mishnah. It could be a number of scenarios. I can have the blood of an ola gets mixed in with the blood of the shlamim. They both have to hit four. Remember, four over here means the two opposite corners, hitting four sides. So what do I do? So I sprinkle it on the four sides, and you're good for both carbonos. Now again, if you subscribe to the principle of yesh bila and even distribution, great. Every sprinkling is going to be representative of both bloods. But if I don't assume even distribution, so then how is it going to work? And again, hachana mishnesarvu arba barba. And again, the Gemara says the same thing, that what you're going to be doing is you're going to be exhausting all the blood onto the mizbeach. The mixture ratio is I would say 1-to-1, but in this case, 4-to-4 ratio. And so therefore, what you'll do is you'll exhaust all the sprinklings. Matan arba b'matan achas, we're just continuing in the Mishnah. So what happens when I have the blood of four getting mixed in with the blood of one? Now, v'chitem achanam in esarv b'achas, so the Gemara says, and again, maybe over here, what do you want to tell me? that the ratio of the mixture is a 4-to-1 ratio. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Amala Rabbi Yeshua Arehu over Babal Tosif. Gemara says it can't be. Because remember yesterday's daf, remember yesterday's Mishnah? A debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua whether or not you should sprinkle it 4 times or you should sprinkle it 1 time. And Rabbi Yeshua challenges Rabbi Eliezer because Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to sprinkle it 4 times. And Rabbi Yeshua goes ballistic and Rabbi Yeshua says, well, what you just did is you just violated the Isra of Baal Tosif. You can't do that. So how are you violating the Isra of Baal Tosif? If the entire mixture only was the totality of 4 sprinklings for the Ola and 1 sprinkling for the Bechor or Meister Behema, and the total mixture now is just those 5 sprinklings, a 4-to-1 ratio, so then you're not in violation of Baal Tosif, meaning as you exhaust all the blood on the Mizbeach, so you're good. And you're not violating Baal Tosif. So in other words, we don't understand what Rabbi Yehoshua's challenge was to Rabbi Eliezer. Hey, you're violating Baal Tosif. The only way you're violating Baal Tosif is obviously where there's a lot of each of the bloods that get mixed together. And that's why now it's a fair challenge to challenge Rabbi Eliezer and say, you're in violation of Baal Tosif. Ihachi, I'm reading it again. We're on the very top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Ihachi, I'm a little Rabbi Yeshua. Rehu over Baal Tosif. Hach, Baal Tosif Meicha. Where's the Baal Tosif over here? If the mixture is only a maximum of 4-to-1. Ela Marava Bevalo Lo Pligi. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is as follows. Maybe we can change our entire assumption of all the Mishnayos that we learned. Meaning that each one of these Mishnayos represented a significant challenge to Rabbi Eliezer as Rav Ashi understood Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Ashi again says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Bila, that there's no even distribution. And all these Mishnayos seem to be present the problem because all these Mishnayos speak to this idea where I'll sprinkle a little bit of one here, I'll sprinkle a little bit of one there, and we're good for everyone. And again, all we had to do was just keep addressing all these Mishnayos and give a specific scenario over here, a specific scenario over here, and all that was really difficult. Rava says, here's what we're going to do. So, bibalu lo pligi. In other words, the whole debate over here is not talking about where the bloods got mixed together, but rather ki pligi bikosos. The entire debate over here is where cups got mixed together. Oh. Okay, so in other words, here's what happened. One Kohen shechted his carbon, collected it in a cup. Another Kohen shechted his carbon, collected in a cup. And then now I know the cups don't easily rest on the ground. In other words, they're cone-shaped, so they can't rest on the ground. But somehow, the cups got mixed up together. But the bloods themselves didn't get mixed up together, we just mixed up the cups. And so now the Gemara says, that's where we experienced a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. In such a scenario now, all the Mishnayos that we struggled through over the course of this morning, they all now work out a lot better. Because now, it's not a question of blending. There is no blending over here. The cups are independent of one another. It just happens to be. I don't know which cup represents which carbon. So now we are hearing really well the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah, whether or not one gets mixed with one. In other words, again, it's not the actual bloods getting mixed together, it's the cups getting mixed. One gets mixed up with four gets mixed up with four, etc., etc. So keep looking because the Rabbi Elazar is Le Rowan, Le Rabban, Le Le Rowan. And over here, what's that issue? The issue is we go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. According to Rabbi Eliezer, look, I don't know which cup is which. So I'm taking this cup and I'm sprinkling on the top of the Mizbeach. This cup very well may be Ola blood. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's fine. Because here's what he'll say. If it's Chatos blood, check. If it's Ola blood, we'll treat it like water. Again, Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to this concept of Rowan. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no such thing. Meaning he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Rowan. So therefore, according to the Chacham, you have to discard all the cups. Very good. And now, if we're doing this, we have really resolved all the questions that we've asked up until now. This Mishnah, this Brisa, that Brisa, we're talking about where the cups get mixed together, not where the actual bloods get mixed together. If the bloods got mixed together, different story. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no even distribution. And it would be a different story. Uve valalo pligi, the Gemara says, okay, it really is an ingenious solution to solve all these problems. But the Gemara says, but it happens to be that I have a Braisa, and the Braisa we're about to learn together clearly articulates that they're arguing about when the cups get mixed together or when the blood gets mixed together. Let's see the Braisa inside. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Lenechelku, Rabbi Lazar V'chachamim al dam chatash in esar b'dam ola, she karev. If the blood of chatas and the blood of ola get mixed together, so they're going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Mind you, by the way, this Braisa obviously is not in agreement with the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. But okay, In other words, this is a brisa. And barava v'nirva shelo yikrav, and if the blood of a kosher carbon gets mixed up with the blood of a non-kosher carbon, specifically a carbon that was involved in revia, in bestiality, that carbon is disqualified. The mixture as such is going to be disqualified as well. No argument. Rabbi Lazar and Chachamim both agree. The blood of a non-blemished carbon gets mixed in with the blood of a blemished carbon. Again, what business does any Kohen have shechting a blemished carbon? Obviously, he shouldn't have done that. But in the event that that happens, and in the event that the bloods get mixed together, here we have a machlokas. Rabbi Lazar Amar Yikara, Bein Babala, Bein Bekosos. Rabbi Lazar says you sprinkle it. And again, how can you sprinkle it? In other words, some of the blood is that of a blemished animal, disqualified to be brought in the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the principle of Rowan, meaning Rabbi Eliezer will say that blood, treat it like water. In other words, I will have Kavana not to offer that as blood. It just will simply look at it as if it's water. And the Brisa says very clearly, and here's why the Gemara now is citing the Brisa. It doesn't matter if the mixture was the liquids getting mixed together or the cups getting mixed together. The Chachamim Amrim lo yikrav, and the Chachamim say, no, don't sprinkle it. So,
But this really stresses the concept of Kavana. It's the guy's Kavana that actually determines the status.
Correct.
Not the reality of what it is.
Correct. Right. Now, come. Right. All this works for Rabbi Eliezer. Correct.
So, when the Chalam says Loikrav, that means that what happens to
the all the blood gets discarded.
No, what about the Korban itself? It's not accepted.
We'll start again.
All over.
Yep, all over again. Rabbi Yehuda Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer Masnila Bein Babala Bein Bekosos Rabban Bekosos Pligi. So the Gemara will say, look, again, in defense of Ravashi, here's what we're going to say. The Brisa you just quoted is irrefutable. But that doesn't mean that no one disputes the Brisa. Meaning that the Brisa, in fact, look at the beginning of the Brisa. The beginning of the Brisa says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning clearly this Brisa is an opinion, and it's a very significant opinion. But it's an opinion. But that means, though, that there are other Tanaim who disagree with the way Rabbi Yehuda is presenting the debate. So that means to say that the Chachamim will say, and again, we're defending Rav Ashi, the Chachamim will say that the only debate between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is only in a case of cups getting mixed together, but not when the bloods get mixed together. Okay. Amar Abaye. Okay, so we have now just spent nearly an entire Amud of Gemara. More. In other words, we know that there's a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Liquids get mixed together. We do not know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, whether there is an even distribution or there's not an even distribution. The Amoraim are arguing over that very point. Rav Ashi espoused his position that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, ain bila, there is no even distribution. If there's no even distribution, how do you navigate through all the Mishnahs and all the Brisos? And so that is where we spent our first half of this morning discussing. How is Rabbi Eliezer going to address all the Mishnayos and Brisos that seem to clearly indicate that we assume that there's an even blending, and so we struggled. Meaning the Gemara gave various scenarios in terms of how to defend Rav Ashi. We're done. Meaning we don't have a conclusion. Sorry. We don't have a conclusion as to whether or not Rabbi Eliezer holds Yesh Bila or Ein Bila. Although, to be fair, in other words, generally speaking, the Halacha doesn't follow like Rabbi Eliezer at all. Meaning here's just another example of the Gemara spending quality real estate discussing a position which is not even a position that's held by halacha. Rabbi Eliezer's position is, generally speaking, not the accepted position, but still, in the Gemara's attempt to understand and get to the bottom of Rabbi Eliezer's sheet, the Gemara spent over an Amud discussing his viewpoint.
Since he was a Shemuti, do you think he's a great Shammai's opinion also?
Could be, but I'd only be guessing.
Yes.
Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ala tchilas chatas va'olam. Aval sov chatas va'ola divrei hakol makom ola makom shirayim. Okay, here comes another debate that we have not yet experienced, but let's talk it out right now. We know that by the carbon chatas, the procedure looks like this: four applications on the four corners around the mizbeach, then the shirayim are poured onto the yisod mizbeach. How did you visualize it? Well, here's how I visualized it. And again, we've been 2 millennia without it, so my guess is not much better than yours. But here's how I visualized it: that whatever's left in the cup, meaning four applications on the four corners. By the way, it's with your finger. With the Kohen's finger, so took away a little bit of the blood. So you still have basically a full cup of blood left over, and the Torah's the next mitzvah is to go to the southwest corner and pour whatever's left onto the base of the southwest corner. Now we know the physical construct of the Mizbeach. In other words, the base of the southwest corner is one amma going vertical, one amma then cutting in horizontally, and then it goes up from there. If you would have asked me, I would have said, Shirayim are poured on the base of the Mizbeach on the horizontal. On the horizontal base. That's what I would have said. And not only that, I'm in good company. However, what if I didn't pour it on the horizontal base, but let's say I poured it again, I threw it against the wall, and it dripped onto the horizontal base. Do you get credit for Shficha Shirayim? Is that going to be good for the pouring of Shirayim? Or does it have to be that I'm pouring it directly onto that horizontal of the base? The Gemara now is entertaining a debate on this very issue. Amar Abai, so I'm going to start again. Lo shanu ala tchilas chatas va'ola. We are talking about the tchilas chatas and the ola. Ava sof chatas. But if I'm talking about the sof chatas, right, to be comfortable with the terminology, sof chatas is just another way of saying shirayim. In other words, but if it's the shirayim and the ola that gets mixed together, or in other words, somehow, and again, this is extraordinarily unusual, I already did the first four applications of the chatas blood. Now the kohen is going down with the cup in order to sprinkle the shirayim, not sprinkle, to pour the shirayim onto the southwest base of the mizbeach. And then this blood, I know it's unusual, but then this blood gets mixed in with ola blood. Divrei hakol, makum ola makum shirayim. So Abaye says like this. Here, we're going to have full agreement. Rabbi Elias and the Chachamim have been debating yesterday's Mishnah extensively. Here, agreement, you could take now this entire cup and just throw it against the side of the Mizbeach. For the Ola blood, check. Because it's exactly what you should be doing. For the Shirayim of the Chatos, you also get a check, says Abaye. Why? Because throwing it on the lower half of the Mizbeach is acceptable. Even though the way I describe Shvicha Shirayim is that you're pouring it on the horizontal base of the Mizbeach, what Abaye is arguing is, if it drips onto the horizontal base of the Mizbeach, that's also equally acceptable. Amalei Rav Yosef, hachi amar Rav Yehuda Shirayim tzrichim itzdaba. So Rav Yosef says, no, I don't want to hear such a thing. Rav Yosef says that the Shirayim have to be poured directly onto the horizontal base of the Mizbeach. Having it drip down the side is unacceptable. V'chein, and the Gemara now points out, this is not just a machlokus between Abai and Rav Yosef. V'chein amar Rebbe Shimon, probably Reish Lakish. V'chein amar Reish Lakish, lo shanu l'tchilas chatas v'ola, v'sof chatas v'ola, divra kol makam ola makam shirayim. Reish Lakish says, just like Abaye, that if I have the shirayim of the chatas, gets mixed in with the ola, just simply throw it against the side of the mizbeach, and so you'll get two checks. Oh. For the ola, you get a check, and for the shirayim of the chatas, you get a check as well, because it will drip down to the base of the mizbeach. I'm Rav Yochanan, v'item Rabbi Elazar, adayin hi machlokes. And Rabbi Elazar and Rav Yochanan both contend, no, it's still going to be a debate between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Meaning that, no, according to the Chachamim, this is not going to be acceptable. And the reason why it's not going to be acceptable, remember, according to the Chachamim, he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Rowan, which means that everything has to be sprinkled in its appropriate place. And the Shirayim have to go directly onto the horizontal base of the Mizbeach. The Ola has to be sprinkled against the wall of the Mizbeach. And so therefore the Chachamim will say, look, unfortunately you have to discard and start again.
Why not the Ola? The Ola part is not accepted. The Shirayim is not, but why not the Ola part?
Because it's mixed together. And I can't just simply, in other words, and he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Rowan.
Except because of Bila, right?
In other words, they subscribe to the principle of Bila, but what they don't subscribe to is Rowan. So in other words, from a Bila standpoint, yeah. But in other words, from a Rowan standpoint, it doesn't work. Mezev Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Kodesh Hemshim Nesarev Bidnam Kachem Achem Yikrevu. The Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following drasha? The drasha tells us that it is holy, Kodesh Hem. Or let me translate that even better. They are holy. What does that mean, they are holy? That if blood of one carbon gets mixed up with blood of another carbon, yikrevu. So they're both to be offered. So my love, now what got mixed up with what? Sof ola ubechor, meaning are we not talking about sof ola? Sof ola, once again, is a fancy way of saying shirayim. The shirayim of the carbon ola gets mixed in with the blood of the bechor. Ushma mina makam ola, makam shirayim. And isn't it now teaching us that they both can be sprinkled on the same location of the mizbeach? Vis-a-vis your Bechor blood that goes on the wall of the Mizbeach check. Vis-a-vis the Shirayim of the Ola, you're also going to get a check because it's going to drip down to the base of the Mizbeach. Isn't that the Pshat in the Braisa? Lo. The Gemara says, no, that's not the Pshat in the Braisa. Tchilas Ola Bechor. So the Gemara says the Pshat in the Braisa is that the blood of the Ola and the blood of the Bechor got mixed together, and not the Shirayim of the Ola. the actual first blood of the Ola get mixed in with the blood of the Bechor. So what you'll do is you'll sprinkle against the wall. So my kamash milan dein olam mevatlan zeds there. So the Gemara says, so great. That's the pshat in the Braisa. So let me ask you a simple question. What did we just learn together? The blood of one carbon is not going to be mevatel the blood of another carbon. We know that already. So the Gemara says, don't we learn it out from the bloods of the of Yom Kippur, where the seir and the par and the seir get mixed together, and yet the two bloods are viewed, each one of them, with their own separate identity, even though they're mixed together. So we know this already. So you're telling me we're learning it from the drasha of Kodesh Haim? We learned it from the pasuk regarding the chataos of Yom Kippur.
So the Gemara. How are they separately?
In other words, the Torah says mix them together and then sprinkle them onto the inner mizbeach. And so if one of them is going to lose their identity, so then I haven't sprinkled them on the mizbeach. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says do it, it means that each one of them retains its identity. So the Gemara says, "Haim avlakach midam apar midam asir nafka tanaihi ikad nafka le mehacha v'ikad nafka le mehacha." So the Gemara right now is arguing, a debate as to whether or not. Where the source of this halacha comes from. Mace of Rava. Rava.
This is against Rabbanan.
This would be against the Chachamim. Hold on. Let's first finish this thread of Gemara. Mace of Rava, the Gemara challenges Rava. The Ikriva ben Aaron es Adam v'zarku es Adam. The Torah in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, talks about the carbonola. The Kohanim are going to be mekabel the blood. They're going to sprinkle the blood. In other words, contextually, we know we're talking about the blood. And the Torah keeps repeating the word blood every single time. Ma tam ulomer. What is the purpose of the Torah saying dam dam? Just keep repeating the word blood. What is it driving at? Sheyachol ein li'alai l'shen esarva b'tmuraso shaf mechayim tikrav. So look, if the blood of an ola gets mixed up with another blood, let's say it's tamura, which is, you know my joke already, the carbon copy. In other words, so I have every time. It works every time. So I have now the tamura of the ola. So if the two bloods get mixed together, so they're twins of one another. So there I can certainly entertain the idea that if those bloods get mixed together, they're gonna get sprinkled. So minan la rabbas tod v'shlamim. So the Gemara says, what if the carbon ola gets mixed in with the blood of tod and shlamim? So marbani tod v'shlamim shabai mineder v'nedav v'kamos. So the Gemara says, okay, but there I can understand that even when those bloods get mixed together, you could sprinkle them on the mizbeach, because at least from a conceptual standpoint, an ola is a voluntary offering, or I should say better, could be a voluntary offering, and tod v'shlamim are voluntary offerings. So since they are conceptually similar carbonos, so therefore it works. Minan the rabbis is asham. How about including the carbon asham? Marbani es asham shetam matan dalik kemoso. Well, we know that the ola application is four walls. Same thing is true with the asham. So if the two bloods get mixed together, that also gets sprinkled as well. Bechor ma'aser pesach minayim. But what about the bechor and ma'aser pesach? Bechor ma'aser behema and pesach. How do I know that if the bloods of those get mixed together with the blood of an ola, that gets sprinkled? Tam alam or dam dam. So the Torah, by repeating the word dam dam, is telling us that regardless of what bloods get mixed up with what bloods, if the blood of a carbon gets mixed in with another blood of the carbon, you just simply could take the mixture and sprinkle onto the mizbeach. Now, my love, sof ola ubechor. Now the Gemara says, which bloods get mixed in together? So here, once again, the Gemara now is speculating. Are we not talking about not the original sprinkling of the ola? That was done already. But in other words, the shirayim of the ola gets mixed in with that of the blood of the bechor. And are we not learning together now that I could just simply throw it onto the wall of the lower half of the mizbech and you're good? You're good for the bechor because you hit the spot. You're good for the shirayim of the ola because it's going to drip down to the manam. So ushma mina makam ola makam shirayim. And once again, the Gemara deflects. Lo tchilas ola bechor. No, we're talking about where it's the first bloods of the Bechor and the first bloods of the Ola, and that's what the Bryce is addressing. So once again, the Gemara says, we're learning it from the Drasha of Dam Dam. I don't understand. We already learned that on the previous Amud. We learned it either from Mivalakach Dam Apar Midam Asir Nafka. So Tanaihi. So once again, the Gemara suggests that it's a machlokas Tanaim. Igid na nafka lemahacha, v'igid na nafka lemahacha. Some learn it from here, and some learn it from there. And let's just finish up with this next point of the part of the Gemara. V'hani Tanaim v'lakach midam apar midam asir lo yalfi. So the Gemara says, now, why would one Tana not learn it out from the chatos of Yom Kippur? Answers the Gemara, kasavri, in ma'arvin l'kranos. You remember we had this debate earlier in the Masechta. Is it required to first mix the Seir and the bull blood and sprinkle it onto the inner Mizbeach, or do I sprinkle it independently and then mix it together? Right? And if you remember, going all the way back earlier in the Masechta, Dab Membeis, it was then a question of whether it's 47 sprinklings or 48 sprinklings. Okay, that takes us back some time. But that, so the Gemara now is saying that this particular Tana is of the opinion that they don't get mixed. First they get sprinkled independently, and then and only then afterwards do they get mixed together. So that means to say then that will not be a good source. And midam dam lo yalev dam dam lo mashmalei. And as far as learning it out from the extra, from the repeated word dam in the first parak of Vayikra, the Gemara says he just feels that does not trigger a drasha. Ella kodeshem my time lo yalfi. The Gemara says, why don't you learn it out from the drasha of kodeshem? Kasavi kodeshem craven ve'ein tamura craven. No, in other words, kodeshem is teaching us a different halacha. Kodeshem is teaching us that a bechor is offered as a karban. Tamura's bechor is not offered as a karban. Generally speaking, of course, the tamura is in fact offered as a karban. But with a notable exception, specifically, the tamura of a bechor. Tamura bechor is not offered as a karban, and that's when the Torah is telling us, when the Torah says, Kodesh Haim. V'idach, nafkalei me imshur imsel Hashem hu krav ein tamura so krav. And as far as the other Tana is concerned, he agrees with that halacha. He just simply learns that out from a different drasha and a different pasuk. Okay, so vis-a-vis the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, yesh bila, ein bila, so undetermined? Sorry. Indetermined? My English is not good today. Okay, apologies. Okay, whether Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to yesh bila or ein bila, we don't know. We don't know the Amoraim debate that very issue. Rav Ashi holds that according to Rabbi Eliezer, ein bila, and the Gemara spent a lot of time trying to defend Rav Ashi's position. It's a position that's hard to defend, but the Gemara spends a significant amount of time defending it. Vis-a-vis whether or not the shirayim of a carbon ola, the shirayim of a carbon chatas, is poured onto the yisod of mizbeach, that's clear. Can I pour it onto the side of the mizbeach and have it drip down to the base of the mizbeach? Unclear. That's what we just finished debating. The Gemara has a debate on that issue as well. Also, not determined.